Bonjour, Wache. Amelia Fox here. Welcome to the fourth episode of the In Between People podcast.
Shout out to Jeremiah Otis for creating our intro song called Cree Anthem.
Today we're joined by Alec O'Navigan, and he's coming in from Ginugaming.
Bonjour, I'm Alec O'Navigan. I'm from Ginugaming First Nation. I'm Ojibwe, queer, trans man, 22 years old, soon to be 23. hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Of course.
I appreciate you taking the time to come and talk with us about your experiences and your journey so far. I guess we could just kind of dive right into it. So I was kind of wondering, what is your experience as a trans person on the reserve? Let's even go a little bit more back. I was wondering what your experience was as a young person, like a little person, you know?
When I was growing up, I didn't really know what a trans person was. I never heard the terminology. I never heard anything about them. I didn't even know what LGBTQ was until I was about, when I finally got internet at home, I was about like 15. And then I started watching YouTubers on YouTube, and I saw a video on Facebook. I remember watching it, and it was of a trans man. And it was like my first experience was seeing somebody trans online. And I was like, wow, he looks happy now that he's. And I remember at the time I was having a hard time because my grandma passed away. And I was like, I would like imagine I would be happy like that, but I didn't know how to be happy at the time. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I grew up like there's a lot of things that I didn't know growing up, like about the LGBT and being trans and being like homosexual, gay, lesbian. I didn't know anything about that until I started having these feelings as liking other girls. And I didn't know how this was or what this was. I just knew that I liked it. And that's how I first started like knowing like something was different about me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's when I figured out like something was different. Like my friends talked about it, but like I didn't understand mostly. But yeah, it's my childhood pretty much until I started watching YouTubers online. And this one YouTuber I watched, like a few years ago, they recently came out as trans. And I was like, what if I was like that? What if I, what if I was trans? And I thought about that, and I had that thought in my head for years and years and years until I became an adult.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of had like a similar situation, except it wasn't YouTube. It was freaking, do you guys know Glee?
Mm-hmm.
So I used to watch Glee growing up, and Santana, that character that's lesbian on there. I was like, oh my God, I'm like Santana. So I think the media does bring a sense of it brings a sense of belonging, I guess, when you're watching TV or you're watching YouTubers, you're watching movies. Like, representation is so incredibly important in that sense, and I think we're going to do an episode on that. But I did kind of want to unpack, like, how did you feel internally? Like, I know, like, a lot of Indigenous people use two-spirited, and I kind of wanted to know, like, do you feel like you have more of a masculine spirit as opposed to a feminine spirit, I suppose? And how has that impacted you in regards to your transition? Do you feel more like yourself now that you're doing your transition, I guess?
Yeah, I feel more myself, more me. I've always seen myself as a man, even though I didn't know what it was as a kid. As a kid, I was a tomboy. I wore a lot of boy clothes. I played with a lot of boy toys. I did all those things. And I guess I just knew, like, I had a rough childhood as a woman or a girl. And now that I'm growing up as to be a man, I'm figuring myself out and figuring out things that I didn't know before. And, like, I'm becoming more happy with myself. And I guess it's just being true to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure. I'm also kind of wondering, like, how did you find, you know, the right way to kind of begin your transitioning? Like, what is a safe way to start transitioning, I guess? I know that there's issues with binding sometimes, and I was wondering if you have any, I want to say tips. Wisdom.
Okay.
any wisdoms to impart on our youth? Or
all I can say is, when you're binding, don't wear it more than 10 hours a day. And don't sleep with it. That's the most important thing. Don't sleep with your binder on, because it could hurt your lungs, hurt your back. I've done that, and it hurts like heck. Another thing is, like, have a good support system around you. I'm grateful for the support system that I have, my family, my friends, my peers. Even if you don't have a support system, like, there's the LGBT community that's there for you. And that's, like, there's a lot of, like, even if you don't have a system at home, like, gain one on the internet. Like, that's the best place to gain one. Like, I found a lot of great friends on the internet, online, through Facebook groups or Discord groups or whatever. And they've helped me a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think that's kind of like what I aim to do, is to be able to create that kind of sense of community through this project that me, Leslie, and Lucille are kind of doing.
Mm-hmm.
Is to you know, I one day want to gather Ontario wide and, like, have this place where we can all come together and, like, talk about our experiences, like, because there's all kinds of differing experiences on reserve, and coming together to talk about it, meeting new friends, making a new, like, support system if you need, like, that's one of the main things that I want to do with this. And and I think, like, what you're bringing up is some good points. Leslie, did you have any questions?
I have no questions, but I am very proud for trans people, and because they face a lot of stuff and challenges, especially in reserve too. And yeah, that's all I want to say.
Thank you.
Very proud. I'm very not proud, but I'm very. Just wanna, yeah.
I get what you mean.
Like, I just wanna embrace you, hug you.
Oh. Virtual hug.
Yeah.
Okay, wait just one second here. I did have was there any period of time where somebody didn't respond well that you have? I mean, like, you don't have to talk about it, but I was just wondering, like, is that something that you would want to talk about?
Honestly, I haven't had any bad experiences. Like, I'm not gonna say it like ever, but I'm gonna say like yet.
Yeah.
Because there's always gonna be people out there who like don't accept it and don't. But I remember coming out as a lesbian, my Nana didn't accept it at first. But it, because she's older and she's like what they call old fashioned and stuff, and like she didn't understand what being a lesbian was. But as a year went by, she started to accept me. And I went to Pride one year, and I was going to be in the parade. I missed the parade, and I saw my Nana at the Pride ceremony or whatever. And she told me she was right in front there, up front. And, like, that just made me, like, so happy. Like, it just takes time for them to understand, and it's a lot to process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've kind of discussed before, too, like, the impacts of colonization on our teachings. I'm not sure if you, I mean, we're going to be releasing the remainder of the episodes after, and there's some good teachings on there from Ron and the Amandaman if you're interested in listening to them, because like they talk about, you know, all our teachings that Ron has, it has all kinds of like gender diversity, gender, like sexual diversity, orientation diversity, and you can kind of see where colonization has kind of taken those teachings and wanted to take them away from us because it wasn't like the dominant culture that they had and that they wanted us to follow. And I think a lot of our older people still kind of follow those teachings, right? And I guess it's a matter of revitalizing our own ways and our acceptance for different people and our acceptance for people that don't necessarily follow like the social norms that have been set for us from colonization. So I was wondering, what is the best way to support trans youth? You know, what can people do to support youth that are going through like questioning, identity questioning, yeah, that kind of stuff?
The best thing is probably to like have someone to talk to, like someone that's there that understands, especially another trans person to talk to is probably the best thing, like, so they know what their experience was and you might go through. And I guess the best thing is just to listen to them. Just have an open ear. Just listen and like you don't even have to talk. Just listen to us. Mm-hmm. Hear our voice.
Yeah, I think that's something that we all have kind of needed to growing up, is having someone to just be like, you know what, I love you the way you are. And I think those are like the biggest words, like as soon as somebody like comes out to you, it's just, I accept you for who you are and I love you for who you are, regardless of how you identify or who you love. I know like when I told my dad, that's what he said to me, and my family also said that to me. And I know there's other youth out there that don't get the same thing that's said to them. And yeah, it's just heartbreaking kind of because... Mm-hmm. Because like we are the way we are, right? There's no changing. Exactly. There's no changing who we are, no matter how hard we try. Yeah. So, yeah. I was also kind of wondering, you know, when you started your transition, how has your confidence improved? You know, do you feel more like yourself now that you are on this journey?
I definitely feel more like myself. My confidence has definitely gone up. I see a lot of change going, like I've been on 8 I've been on testosterone for 8 months today. My voice is changing, my body structure is changing, my face structure, and it's just making me like so excited. Like, it's only been 8 months,
yeah,
and like I'm just like excited to see what like a year is gonna bring. And I know it's gonna feel much better once I get top surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Once I'm starting like the paperwork and research now, and it's just like overwhelming sometimes, but like it's a good overwhelming, like that I'm doing this for myself. And it just like it's a very big confidence booster for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I remember when I first met you, and like the changes that I see now, you're just blossoming. You're you know, you're becoming the person that you always were. And
exactly,
you know, I really applaud you for taking these steps to do what you need to do to be your best self, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to feel good in the body that you have. And yeah. I think it's very inspiring. And I know that a lot of other youth that are going through similar things, they would also find it inspiring to be true to who you are.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to do this. I wanted to be there. I wanted to be like the voice for trans youth,
mm-hmm.
and speak for them if they can't speak for themselves.
Yeah, for sure. Like I think one of the things that we don't hear from often is the trans community in our northern communities and our communities in general. Like, I think it's important to amplify their stories as well, because they're important, and there's other youth that are going through similar things, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Do you go to any ceremonies, like Sweat Lodge, and?
I haven't been to a ceremony in a while. It's mostly because of COVID, and I've been working a lot the past couple years. Like, it's all I've been doing. Like, I'm finally having a break now. Yeah, I want to, though. I want to go to like ceremonies and like.
Or do you practice that? Do you still practice your like smudging and?
Yes, I do. I do.
Nice.
I was gifted a bundle when I graduated. And I've been like, I've been smudging. Like, my mom says that because that I'm two spirited, that I have a woman and a man. And I'm gonna get a little deep with this, but recently I was diagnosed with psychosis, hallucinations, and. My mom believes that it's my man, my woman fighting, because that's what I would hear. I would hear a man and a woman fighting in my head all the time. And I've took that into consideration and thought, well, like it is, but I just have to like learn how to like handle it in my head. So I've done a lot of things to help myself with that. And there was other things that I would hear, but it's just mostly like helping yourself. And I'm helping myself, and it's been hard, but like finding my true self, it's been making it a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. What are ways that you cope, like that you've been coping growing up and then even coping till now? Like, what are the things that you use that help you through your daily struggles?
Talking to somebody, definitely. I can't, like, don't bottle yourself up. Talk to somebody. I talk to my mom every day about everything. She's my biggest supporter. Mm-hmm. She's always been my biggest supporter. But if I'm by myself, I just tell myself, breathe, and like just breathe and like clear your mind, or sometimes I meditate, and it helps a lot just to clear that mind, just to get it out.
And for your transition, what do you do for self-care? or in your daily life?
It's a tough one because like I'm always on the go. Like sometimes I can't stop, but if I'm like, if I do stop, I just listen to music and hang out in my bed, or like take a nice shower, hang out, and just like relax by myself. Like, as I'm always with people, either I'm at work or I'm at my friends or I'm at my mom's. Excuse me. And I just take time for myself when I'm doing self-care.
I was kind of wondering, like, have you had any experience, or wait, you know what? How was changing your name? How was that process?
That's still a process I'm going through. Like, it's hard because I still have family that still call me by my legal name. But honestly, I don't mind it because my middle name is Charles and my given name is Charlie. And like, I would, if they call me by Charlie, like, I say that it's a nickname. Because it's a unisex name, they call it. Mm-hmm. And I honestly don't mind it if they call me by my given name. As long as they're like happy with me, like good with me, like I don't mind if you call me by my first, like my legal name. But I am still legally gonna change my name to Alec Charles.
Yeah. Yeah. How did you come up with the name, or where did you get the name Alec from? Like
I did a lot of like name searching online, and like Alec was the only one that popped out to me, especially the singer Alec Benjamin. He's a good singer. I liked his name a lot, and and my mom called me Charles my whole life. So, and a funny story with that, I didn't know my great grandfather's name was Alec until my mom told me when I told her my name.
Interesting how it's fitting then. It just worked out.
Yeah, exactly.
So how do you feel? I kind of want to know, how do you, growing up, you know, being called she, how do you feel when people kind of misgender you, or they keep using the pronouns even though you identify as he and him?
It's a little difficult because, like, I kind of cringe a little. I don't know how else to explain it, but it's just, but I know like people are, if you, it's a process. Mm. I process it faster more than people have. So, and like, I was writing my notes today, what I was going to say. I remember saying, my best friend in my transition is patience, and patience is key in this, because like people you gotta wait for, and because this whole process of you changing everything, your gender, your name, your looks, and going through a transition, you'd have to have patience. It took me 6 months till my voice started to change. And but my name, I mean, misgendering me, it's just a little hard because I feel like I feel like I look like a man, but I guess some people still identify me as a woman just by the way I look, and it's a little frustrating. But I don't correct them, especially my customers at work, especially if I don't see them every day. I don't correct them. I just let it go. And then as time will go by, I'm sure people would like know what's going on and stuff, I guess.
Yeah. Would you agree with the statement that, you know, using the correct pronouns when referring to someone is kind of like suicide prevention? Like, do you think misgendering people makes, or like purposely misgendering people, do you think it decreases like people's mental health and makes them feel like not heard, I guess?
Yes. Yes. I agree with that 100%. There's a lot of people who are not as accepting as I am, who want to be known as he, him, she, her, they, them. And they want to know I mean, they want to be known as that person that they are. And if you're purposely not letting them feel the whole, then it hurts. It hurts a lot. Like Banana, like I said before, she wasn't accepting me as a lesbian at first. Now she's, but she's accepting me as a trans man now, but it took her a little while. But it did hurt a little. And like, I know some people who still call me she, her, like on purpose. Like they know that I'm he, him now. But I don't, like there's some people that would take it further than I would.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's like I think it's incredibly important to use the proper pronouns. I mean, I'm not I only recently started learning about pronouns, but being able to express yourself how you want to be expressed, how you feel you should express yourself is important. And like I've been thinking a lot about the use of pronouns, and if people aren't using the right pronouns, then it must impact how they feel, right? I mean, like I don't know. I've just been thinking about like the mental health side of it, the mental health aspect. And like, even in our ceremonies and our traditions, this was another topic that has been kind of repeatedly coming up is the gender teachings that we have. And, you know, having to wear a skirt if you are presenting as a woman, or not being able to drum on the drum if you aren't male presenting. So I've been kind of like exploring this whole idea. And if you were to go to a drum, like, would they let you drum? I'm wondering. I have a feeling they would, but, you know, are these barriers still existing for our youth that are transitioning?
That's funny that you bring that up, because I was literally thinking the same thing today, because I've asked one of my friends who makes like ceremony, like regalia and stuff like that, and I asked her to make a ribbon shirt. She never got back to me, but I was thinking of like, would that be allowed, or like, would that be like controversial to like the community or whatnot? Like, I was thinking that exact same thing today. And it's funny that you bring that up.
Yeah, like we've been discussing this. We've been trying to like unpack it, just because you know, our teachings and our culture is meant to heal, and it's not meant to make us feel bad. So these teachings that elders are carrying, like I think about them, and you know, do they want, like, I feel like the main goal is to have people present and attending and healing themselves, you know, the things that they've gone through, to be able to do that through our spiritual means. But like, if you're not, and if you're excluded because of gender, you know, how ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly.
like I've just been thinking, like, I don't know if those are the right words. Like, I don't think people are going to particularly like the view that I bring forth, especially some people, but I honestly think that, you know, we have to change our ways of thinking and be more inclusive and be more inviting and accepting of those who differ from the norm. And like, that's just something that we've been talking about a lot, and it's coming up again, because I wanted to kind of get your experience in regards to that, and like what you think about that.
And like, it's good to like not care what people think. It's been hard for me, because I've grown up thinking to myself like people care, but in reality they don't. So I've been like trying to teach myself like, people don't care about what you think, just do what you want to do and just be happy with yourself.
Like, I'm willing to go against the grain here, but it's for the youth that are, you know, that are like me, or like Leslie, or like yourself, like the people who don't feel accepted in these spaces, because it's so important. It's like literally suicide prevention to allow our youth to come in and participate as they are, and accepting as they are and how they want to appear. You know, like, it's like one of the main things.
Yeah.
Okay. What were you gonna say? Something?
I forgot what I was gonna say.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I know, I forgot what I was gonna say too. I'm like thinking. how do you find your style now that you've begun to transition and that you're in this process?
I feel like my style, like elaborate on that.
Like, okay, so I know you've always kind of dressed, I know how you, like, because I also dress similarly in regards to, like, like, wearing, like, tomboy clothes, like, presenting all tomboy. Like, I was wondering, like, what do you imagine yourself wearing when you are finished transitioning? Like, what do you imagine, like, your style to be in? Like, how is your style right now
How do you empower yourself by wearing what you wear?
Okay, so I think when I first started transitioning, I thought like I would just wear like these kind of shirts, like, and flannels, and like I have a lot of dress shirts and like summer shirts, and like mostly all button ups. And I've always wished that I could wear a button up without something underneath. And I've been wearing them a lot lately. They just make me feel like great about myself, even though I have my binder on. I feel like me, and like I can wear the clothes that I want to wear and like not have anybody tell me what to do, tell me to wear these clothes, tell me to wear this, tell me to wear that. I'm just like, no, I want to wear like my clothes. I want to wear what I want to wear, what I feel good in.
Mm-hmm. I completely relate to that. You know, like I always imagine myself like wearing these suits.
Yes. Yes.
Like I want to wear suits.
Okay. That's what I was just thinking. Like when I think about myself in the future, when I'm like not done transitioning, because there's never a finish of how long you transition. It's just like, where you're happy with yourself. Mm-hmm. Like I could just picture myself wearing a suit with a flat chest and like a nice tight shirt and like, I don't know, like a sweater vest or something.
Nice and tight.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like I feel you on that, just cause like I, like there's times where, you know, I wish I didn't have this chest and I could wear those button ups and I could wear those jackets. And like, I don't know, I've just been kind of like thinking about that. And I was just wondering, yeah, if you imagine yourself wearing your suits, and like, if you imagine yourself wearing, I think something that is going to be such a big day for you is when you're able to go to the beach and take off your shirt.
Yes, that's the day I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
Like, yes. Or to the pool, or like just around my house. I've grown up with three older brothers. And they're always like wearing like just their boxers, and I'm like, I wish I could do that.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see that day until you feel comfortable doing that, and you're able to do that. Like I've been watching your transition, your transition experience, like every once in a while when you post in regards to your beard or I've been like watching the beard. I was like, oh shit, it's coming in.
Yes, it's getting itchy. It's getting itchy.
Do you shave daily?
No, I do not shave it. I'm scared it's not gonna grow back.
I'm sure it'll grow back.
And I'm like growing out my mustache, which is getting pretty thicker. But yeah, I shaved it off once and I didn't like the way it looked. I was like, never again.
Keeping the stash.
Yes.
That's good. What kind of supports have you identified that trans youth need in the community?
They mostly need, like, I've noticed that they pretty much need, like, just help, just mental health, medical help, anything like that. Someone to talk to in the community, someone to understand them. And I don't have that. Like my community knows I'm going through transition, but they don't know like what it's about and what it is. And it would be nice just to have someone in the community to talk to and just to know, like, so they know, like, I know that I feel heard.
Mm-hmm. In regards to the medical side, like, how do you, like, do you have a doctor in your community that administers your testosterone, or do you administer it yourself?
I do it myself now, mm-hmm. but I'm going through Norwest Community Clinic in Long Lac, and they have a clinic in Thunder Bay. So I'm going, my nurse is from Thunder Bay, mm-hmm. but my nurse here, she was doing it for me. And then I started doing it for myself, mm-hmm. which is kind of scary to me, but I get through it. I talk myself out of it. I mean, talk myself into it and just do it.
Like, you just like stick it in real fast.
Yeah. Right in my leg. Sometimes I go slow. Yeah. Sometimes I go slow. But like, it just looks weird when it comes out. So I'm just like grossed out. I'm like, okay, it's done. It's done. My mom do it a couple times too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, that's like the epitome of support is for your parent to administer.
Yeah. Exactly.
There was one other question. So what kind of, so did you have to leave Ganugaming to find a doctor who would help you with your transition? Like, is there a specialist that you had to go see?
We don't really have like a doctor in the community. Mm-hmm. So I was already, like, I was in Long Lac when I first started talking about my transition, started talking about what I want to do, and then they got me to see a doctor, a nurse in Thunder Bay, which was really helpful. They were really helpful. They're all supportive and everything. But like I said, my community doesn't really have like a community doctor, community mm-hmm. nurse that helps out. So yeah.
Yeah, I imagine like other youth that are going through transitioning in our northern reserves probably have to come to Thunder Bay to kind of get that mm-hmm. get that process started. Yeah, I was just wondering what it was like for you.
Okay. Yeah, just Long Lac's just like 5 minute drive, so down the road. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm pretty grateful for that. What was I gonna say? I just wanted to talk about my mom a little.
Yeah, for sure.
She's been my biggest supporter. She's always been there for me ever since I came out as bi, a lesbian, transgender, and then bi again. she's just been there, and she just makes it a lot easier for me to talk about it, talk about myself, talk about whatever I need to talk about. And she's been there since I started testosterone. She's coming with me to go get my top surgery done. She's gonna take care of me, mm-hmm. like all the works. And like, I've talked to her about it, and she said, of course. She's like, and like, one thing I wanted to talk about was, she told me once I came out to her, she was like, I knew ever since like I was in her belly, she knew that I was supposed to be a boy, but I came out a girl. She honestly thought she was having a boy, but I came out like a girl.
That's interesting. Why did she?
I'm not gonna say unfortunately. Sorry, what?
Sorry, you can finish your thought there. I'm gonna ask a question afterwards.
Okay, I was gonna say I'm not gonna say unfortunately I was born a girl, because like, I'm blessed to be born two-spirited.
Yes.
I applaud that.
Yes, me too. I mean, like, all of us are blessed to be here. And yes. I think that's an important point for our youth is, you know, even though you aren't presenting how you feel you should be, you are still blessed, and we are all grateful exactly. that you're here, right?
You are blessed two times.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Frick, I forgot my question. Oh, wait, no.
Something about my mom.
There was something about your mom, but I can't remember what it was.
Something about my mom and me, her having me in her belly.
Oh, yeah. I was kind of wondering, do you have a story of why she thought you were coming, why she thought you were a boy?
Well, she birthed three boys before I was. So like, I guess she knew the way boys are in the belly. Mm-hmm. And I was presenting the same things. I guess like boys are like, I don't know if it's lower or higher, but like boys are like somewhere in the middle. Or, I don't know.
Yeah, they sit different.
Yeah, they sit differently than girls. And I guess I was sitting differently in my mom's belly. And like, she honestly was surprised that I came out a girl. But I don't know. She just thought I was going to be a boy. Even though the doctors told her I was going to be a girl, she just had a feeling.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. She's always told me that story multiple times.
You were always meant to be a boy.
Yes. And that's why she knew when I came out to her. She's like, I know. She's like, I was waiting for you to tell me.
Do you have a niche name?
I do not, no.
No? That would be cool.
I was just wondering
just because my name, my mom dreamt of it, and I find a lot of women when they're named with the language, they have Ikwe at the end of their names a lot of the times. And like my name, the name that my mom had dreamt before I was born, it's Wasaganaga. Wait, Wasaganaga. but it doesn't have that Ikwe at the end, and I've always wondered like, why doesn't it have that Ikwe at the end? Because so many other, you know, indigenous women have the term Ikwe at the end. So when they're called like Thunder Woman or something, or,
yeah,
yeah. So I was just wondering like if you were ever given a name and had that experience, but that's okay.
I just would like to say, never take your life for granted. Never take anything for granted. Because there's a lot of people who don't have the opportunity to come out as who they want to be. And I just think it's like a good opportunity to like be open about yourself. And, mm-hmm. and just like, I don't know how to explain it, but... just be grateful for what you have and for what you're going through. Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I think when people get too focused on the negative, like there's no room for the positive to come through. So it's hard to focus on the positive when you're going through something negative, but it's so important to remain grateful for, you know, the lives that we do have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a good note to leave this off on.
Yeah.
If there is nothing else, just because we're coming up on an hour, I wanted to thank you again, Alec, for coming and talking about your experiences and your story, because like I said so many times, and I will continue saying,
yes,
it's just so important for, you know, our youth to be able to relate to something. And I just really wanted to thank you for coming on here and, you know, being vulnerable and talking about the stuff that you need to do. And I just wanted to extend that gratitude to you.
Of course, thank you for having me. I feel very like appreciated and very like heard. Like that's what a lot of especially the trans community need. They just need to be heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we hope to amplify more voices and more stories and mm-hmm. in this process. And yeah, I just wanted to thank you again. You're awesome.
Of course. Thanks.
All right, I'm gonna turn off the. Leslie, do you have anything to say before I turn off the recording?
No, but it was nice hearing your story, and I hope it will make an impact to our trans youth, because we in my community we have one trans youth, and yeah,
I hope it makes an impact on a lot of people too.
Thank you for coming to tune in to our fourth episode on the In Between People podcast. We hope to see you again.